Turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. We're in lesson 89. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, we've been talking about this for the last several lessons, but Satan seeks to throw things in there to separate your way of who you, how you're standing in the Lord, to trick you into not standing in the position that God has given you in His dear Son. Notice verse 11. The issue is what? If you read verse 11, we just said, what's the issue there?
The armor of God.
No, but what's the issue? What have we been talking about?
The devil.
But keep going. There's one more thing I'm looking for. Standing. You know, the issue is standing. Satan is not interested in you running and walking around and talking to that mountain, say, move mountain, that type of thing. He don't care about that stuff. But he doesn't want you to stand because God wants you to what? Stand. And put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We talked about that a little bit. Listen, when you're warring against the adversary, the issue is standing against him. You know, he don't care a lot of things that you do. But when you stand for this truth, verse 13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. He comes against you, and you are able to stand up and withstand his attack. That's hard, because I'm telling you, he uses every trick in the book to get you not to stand for truth. And I've seen people stand, and then they stop standing. I've seen people stand and continue to stand, and you can tell it's warring on them. You know, that type of thing. But verse 13 says, and having all done all to stand. The next thing he says in verse 14 is what?
Stand
what? Therefore. God wants you to take a stand, and the issue, that's the issue today. Listen, we can make a lot of stands on a lot of things. When it comes to your home, you're going to make a stand, right? Nobody's coming in here, that type of thing. We make stands all around. But the issue is the fact that the issue is standing and occupying in the position that God has given us in Christ. And the issue is to glory in the Word of God for us and resist every attempt to move us away from that position. This is very, very important, guys, that you stand in the position that you are made in Jesus Christ. And the thing is that we are to resist every attempt to spoil us by tricks, by schemes, by craft, by the sleight of hand and trickery, and to stand in the position that God has given us in who?
Christ.
In Christ. Just stand in bodily truth and don't let any of it go. And you don't let any of it get away. It's yours. The treasures are there. You know, so if I can trick you in saying, you know, you're really not in that position, you need to stand over here. You know, your mind can be tricked. That's where your battle is. You know, the Bible says renew your
mind.
See, that's where your spirit is too. Renew your spirit. How do you renew your spirit? By the Word of God. You don't look at TV sets. You don't look at movie screens. They can get you going emotionally, can't they? Yeah. But look, you have to remember that the method that the adversary attack is to trick the believer. Right? And his policy of every against evil, against the body of Christ, is that trickery. And he will trick you into not walking by faith. Not standing in the truth that you're in the body. And his goal is to cause you to not to stand and not stand in the position that you have in who? I can keep saying this over and over and over. Not to stand in the blessings that you have in Jesus Christ. That's what he don't want you to do. Listen, you've got a position in the heavenly places right now. The minute you got saved, you're already seated there. You have all spiritual blessings already. To me, that's exciting.
Amen.
How much more can you get?
Nothing.
All means what? Well, you know, in the Greek, all means what?
All.
You know, in Spanish, all means all. Mm-hmm. In any language, all is all. So you can't get any more spiritual blessings. That's exciting because it's already given to you. And God has put us in this wonderful position in Christ. And if the adversary can just get you not to act like it's real, right? It won't limit him. And it won't affect him. It won't be any problem to him that demonstrates that in the reality of your life. So if he can say, hey, you know, that's really not real. You know, some people don't take the word of God literally. You do know that, don't you? There's religions out there that says, that's not literally, that's spiritually. You know, I'm like, wait a minute. The Bible says there's going to be a Davidic kingdom. You know, right now they're saying it's a spiritual kingdom, don't they? You know, and it's really not real. That type of thing. I'm like, no, the word of God is real. That's why it's very, very important to know your authority. And that is after he takes you and he can't take away your forgiveness. You know that? There's people today think they can lose their salvation. There's people today that believe they can lose their forgiveness. Oh, God didn't forgive me. You know, well, what didn't he do for you? Wasn't dying on the cross good enough for you? It was for me. It has satisfied the Father to put his Son on that cross. And that's all the God the Father, all he saw in his Son is to please. And the Son was to seek what? To please the Father. Mm-hmm. And he can't take away the fact that you was predestinated as adoption children. He can't take away your acceptance in Christ. He can't take away your gift of redemption, forgiveness, and all the things you have in Christ. Satan can't do that. So what's the deal here? Why does sometimes we feel that way? You ever feel that way? I do. Sometimes I wake up, I'm not worthy. Well, that's me thinking that. And, you know, a lady, our friend out in Illinois, posted, what do you do when you, what do you think about when you're lonely? That was a question she asked. What do you think about when you're lonely? You know, I thought about my military soldiers in foreign lands. I thought about a homeless guy. You know what I mean? It ain't about me. When I think about things like that, I'm not lonely anymore. I've got you guys. I've got a family, you know. But if you think somebody, that's why I always say, if you think you've got a bad problem, health-wise, financial-wise, work-wise, there's somebody sitting beside of you who's got a lot worse problems. Well, yeah, that's why sometimes when we do prayer requests, it's corporately, you know, so we'll know how you're feeling. You know how you're feeling. You know, you can talk to God or Father that way all the time. But he can't take that away from you. He can't take the things. But he can seek to trick you in not believing and not understanding and not act like it's reality. That's trickery. I don't know about you guys, but I've been tricked for half my life. I've tricked myself into believing some things that not to be true, but yet it was true, but it wasn't true. Or is it true? You know, that type of thing. Over and over, round and round you go, all fighting. And if you can do that, I'll share this with you. We've been moving a few things back and forth, okay? Well, not back and forth, but forth.
Just forth.
Yeah. So I borrowed a little wagon, you know, pulled behind. So we took a load down, Sherry and I did, and took it upstairs and put it down. So we're looking at the fact, okay, before we take the wagon back, let's take another load down. Well, you know, it's just like, okay, but do I go get mulch? You know, should I take the day today and go get mulch and do mulch yard because we've got an open house next week? And, you know, that type of thing. You're like, and we're trying to, you know, Sunday's pretty rough on me anyway because I'm just totally exhausted after the day. I just assumed to sit at home. And then you're like, and I'm sitting in the shower and getting out, and I'm repeating in my mind what to do and what not to do. You ever do that?
Yes.
Over and over and over, like, and you're answering yourself, and your wife's like, "What do you say? But that's what I can be tricked in not making the right decision. But we emotionally we can make decisions being tricked by our emotions to make a decision, and sometimes it's wrong, isn't it? My wife would like says, "Just make the decision, go with it." I'm like, "That's easy for you to say, because you know, you're not thinking what I'm thinking. You know, I told my wife today, and Maggie walked in, and, you know, it's like, I don't feel good. She goes, you know how when a guy don't feel good, the whole world comes crumbling down. You know? And I said, well, because when a guy don't feel good, you know, we let you know, because we usually don't, you know, we usually feel good. We usually man enough to say, I'm working through this. But when you do feel kind of bad, I'm not being tricked. But a woman, oh, well, my nails broke. You know, I got to watch the kids today. You know, that I'm just joking with you. But look, you can be tricked, guys. Paul says that issue, when you face the adversary, it is not to take a machine gun or a bazooka and try to blow them up. You're not going to do that. You know, we watch many a movie about these creatures and stuff like that, and people shooting machine guns with them. They're like, blah, 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 you know, Superman. You know, you ever notice he shoot, stand. But when they throw the pistol at him, he ducks. He'll stand. You know what? Anyway, that, you know, you're not going to trick Satan that way. It is not to go back in the formal dispensation of the law and try to pull things out of over here and put you under legalistic things. There's religions that does that. You don't need Satan to trick you. It's not the fact that you go over here in the future that we talked about and bring a social order into dispensation of grace. It's going to be an order over here that God's going to set up. You know what I'm talking about? Today, he's under grace. You know, it's to stand in the blessings that God has given you in Christ today and let him demonstrate the reality in your life and enjoy them. That's hard, isn't it? Huh? But anyway, look, every time you do not stand in the position you have in Christ and are not strong in the Lord and the power of his might, you're walking not by faith. And walking by faith is standing in the position that you have in Christ and being strong in the Lord and his might. Everything's about faith here, guys. You know, I love the fact that, let me ask you, have any of you sitting here today ever seen Jesus Christ on this earth?
No.
How about Peter? No. James, John, Paul? You read about him. You know, and you put your faith in those words, don't you? You know, because many of us have been to schools and stuff, and you put your, when they gave you a science book or a math book, whatever, you put your faith in that book, what they was telling you, unless you proved them wrong, right? And 1 + 1 + 1 is what?
3.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
You positive?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that?
Read it in a book.
Well, 1 + 1 + 1.
You got fingers.
Yeah, you got fingers. Well, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's 7 ones. You always say, well, in Christ you're one. Even the God the Father, Son, they're still one. You know, you can trick yourself, but we've been taught that. We've been taught how to read properly and stay with the context and not get out of the contact. But you ever notice that when you're talking about the Word of God and you're standing for dispensational truths and you show them in black and white that God is not talking to you in this passage, what do they usually say? Some of them say, what Bible are you using, right?
Yeah.
You know, some of them like, you know, get away from me.
That's what you say.
You know, yeah, that's... No,
it's... say the Bible's for all the Bible's for me.
That's right. And it is. But is all of it to you?
Yeah, that's
you know?
The thing. Yeah.
See, that's dispensation. So the thing is, they're like, how do I reach this person? But you don't have to trick them. You know, you just be honest with them. Say, listen, I don't know everything in this Bible, what it says, but I know what it don't say. That is not to you when he talks about the nation Israel.
Right.
Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, okay, are you Israel today? If you are, what tribe are you from? You know, are you one of the lost tribes? That's what it is. We found the lost one. But no, you know, that type of thing. You walk by faith and standing in the position that you have in the Lord. It's not just deciding that you want to do something. It's deciding, since you want to do it, that means God wants it done. You with me? The will of the Father. You know, aren't we want to do the will of the Father? Shouldn't we want to be? Yeah. That's what's real, guys. That's what's true. And that's what counts regardless of any other thing. I made my mind up years and years ago in the fact that this Bible is truth. I don't care what you say. I don't care what I say. We can disagree to disagree. But that Bible is truth. Whether I understand it, you understand it. You know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
You have to have an authority. And that's what's wrong with society today. From our homes all the way up to the political realm, they're not held accountable. Then nobody held them accountable. So Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. And Colossians chapter 2. Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says, by whom? Who's that by? Romans 5, 2. Who is it? By whom? That's, yeah, there you go, Christ. Also, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of our glory of God. We have access by what? Into the grace wherein we what? Stand. You know, there's many illustrations about access, right? We can't get into that door out there. If you walked up to it right now, you can't get in that door. You know that, don't you?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so there's a door there for a reason. It's closed. But when they open it, then you have access to what's inside, mm-hmm. right? And that is by faith. And faith is what it takes when you by the hand and lead you in that treasure of God that has for you, and that's what's real. Listen, there's not one of us that's seen Jesus Christ face to face right now. But you know what he looks like in the Word. You know where he's at right now. He's sitting on the right hand of Father. And by access we have, by faith we have it, you know, with the Lord. And do you want to have access of your forgiveness? How about your justification? How about your redemption? How do you know? Where do you find these? How do you access those things without being worried day in, day out, am I ever going to be good enough?
Trust in the Word of God, the Bible.
That's where you find it at. The access is in the Word of God. So which door do we open up? Do we go over here in times past and pull something out over here and say, I'll offer the sacrifices. I'm keeping the law. And then you come over here in grace saying, everything's paid for. It's freely given to me. Or you go back over in ages to come and say, wait a minute, I've got to go back under law. You know, that type of thing. I've got to go under king. So there's access to everything that we need to do. In any dispensation, I believe God set up a program for them to have access to who he is and believe it. And you want to see these things that not just to be yours, but it's yours actually possession and a daily basis on the experience that you have in your life with the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't want to, yeah, I read it in a book, but I just don't feel like I'm forgiven. Well, who's got the problem there?
You the person.
Yeah, because it says it's done. Yeah. Just get in the Word. Listen, you got to understand the first five chapters of Romans, and once you get that settled, that's about justification, guys. How do you justify? How are you justified today? By the blood of Jesus Christ, right? That's where you find out in Paul's epistles. And then, do you want them to have the effect in your life? Then you got to walk by faith. You know, listen, if I walked in here today, when I got my car today, I started to come in here, and by faith, we came in here and it was just us for a little while. And then Maggie showed up. You know what I mean? Then you guys showed up. You know, I was like, well, whether it didn't become a reality till you guys got here, was it? I hope that you guys was coming here. I hope that sunshine didn't detour you to go to the, you know, fishing banks today. Might be nice later. But look, Browns are not playing.
Damn.
Indians play. But anyway, yeah, that's true. Satan's goal is to cause you not to take your stand in the position that you have and not to let the blessings that you have in Christ be appropriate in your life, not to have the effect. That's what he don't want. He don't want you to have the spiritual blessing. He don't want you to stand by faith. He don't want you to know that you're forgiven. He don't want you to know you're justified. See, you're doing a good job without Satan, by the way, in your own mind. I don't know about you guys, but you can be tricked. So here you are there, and he says, well, that's good because I understand these blessings. I do have them, and I know where they are. And then Satan wants to dislodge you. See, when you're right here, you know exactly what you're talking, you're looking for. But when you're out by yourself, how does it affect you? He tries to dislodge you. He wants to keep you from getting there. He keep you from taking your stand. Then you are standing, and he wants to cause you not to withstand. Yeah, boy, I'm taking a stand for the Bible. I'm taking a stand for right division. Now, can you withstand? That's where the battle comes. You know, talking to Dan before, you like baseball. I always liked baseball. And you was a catcher at one time. Yeah. And you probably caught a pretty mean fastball time or two.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, curveballs probably scared you, but you stood in there. And, you know, you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, and then you get a batter up there like, this guy might knock me, you know, to kingdom come, you know, because he's crowding the plate. And you're standing right there. See, you already made your stand as a catcher. Now, can you withstand what's going to come at you, whether the foul balls or you know, the tip balls or things like that. So everything we can think about that, he wants you not to withstand. He wants you to cause you to fall over and dislodge you and push you off your blessings. Don't let that happen, guys. He has a lot of tricks to do with that and a lot of ways to seek to do that. He will trick you with your kids. He will trick you with your spouses. He will kick you with the books that you read. He will trick you with coworkers. He'll trick you with all kinds of things. He uses diversions and disillusions and discouragements and differences and divisions and all kinds of ways, guys. Paul uses to describe the adversary attempts to cause you to not to stand. And when it comes against you to try to dislodge you in any way from the truth. I told you to turn where? Colossians chapter 2. And get 1 Timothy chapter 6. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. We looked at this probably already, but it's still, you can't let this stuff go in your mind. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after who?
Right.
You know what that term, spoil you, is a very important term. Someone is going to spoil you through what? Bad food.
Vain philosophy.
And traditions and vain deceit. The idea is not like a piece of spoiled fruit. Like an apple spoiling in a bottle. Hey, let me ask you something. You ever stuck your apple You ever stuck your hand in a barrel of apples and you pulled out and your finger actually went in a rotten one? No? I have. I love apples. I've lived off apples when I'm running, you know, in the fields and stuff. And you pick that apple up and you grab that apple and your fingers sink into, you know, that's a bad apple, isn't it?
Yeah,
spoiled apple, yeah. You know, rotten apple. You know, it's not like that. It's not like rotting and corrupted truth. He says the victor belongs to what? The spoil, right? That's what you always heard that. That is the way the word is used there. It's a military term, and it's about talking about the money that you win, a booty, if you will, they won after the military victory. You win these spoils, you win the boundary that's left over. You went out and you captured and the enemy positions. Okay, that's what he's talking about there. And Paul says, beware lest any man what? Spoil you. Beware lest someone comes along and takes you captive in the spiritual battle and carries you away from the truth through philosophy. That's love of wisdom. Boy, he sure does know a lot. You know what I mean? Boy, I'm going to follow him. And the traditions of man. You should understand how that works, guys. Loving human viewpoint, human wisdom, human traditions. That's what leads that up. I'm going to trust that guy, and he's going to pull you away. It's talking about scholarships and traditions. Someone comes along and captures the believer. They're captured with their intellect and his mind and his process of thinking and move you away from sound doctrine of the Word of God into human viewpoint and traditions. Listen, that's how we're tricked. Our mind's tricked. You know, I told you that before. This is the battle of the field in your mind. I don't care who you are. You're dealing with depression. You're dealing with, you know, suicidal. You're dealing with, you know, anything. It's right here between your two ears. And it's how you deal with it and how it affects you. They say our doctrine has always been there, and human reasoning and logic behind this, and it captures the believer. We're losing people from a mid-Acts stand that's going back over here to Acts 2. They say that a church started Pentecost. They had no idea that there was already a church started with John the Baptist. They just added to. We're losing people back into that doctrine. We're losing people over here from Acts a 9 position, a mid-Acts position, over here in Acts 28 position that says the body of Christ started with Paul, but the dispensation of grace didn't start after Acts 28. You know, and all people's jumping on that stuff because it seems to be knowledgeable. You know, like, whoa, these people know what they're talking about. That type of thing. I fell for that stuff.
Worshiping, I was just going to say worshiping the creation
rather than creator. And here's the soldier, and he's in a battle. And the satanic policy of evil comes up and it spoils him. And it captures him. And it makes him a prisoner of him. And do you know how a prisoner of war, let me ask you, do you know how good a prisoner of war is in battle?
No.
He doesn't show up, does he?
Right.
He's been what? Neutralized.
Yeah.
You know, he's still a soldier.
Combat.
You know, and he's been carried away from the faith, and he's been made a POW. I know people like that for years. It's just POW. They're out of commission. They're all back there in that little cage. They're in that, you know, they're not standing. They're not withstanding. They're just made neutralized. And it's affected them. And that's the attempt, Satan of the Satan, and you have to be aware of that. One of the wiles is, one of the tricks is to come in and dislodge you from that truth. Listen, there's a lot of people come through these doors that got this truth and then all of a sudden they're dislodged. You know, man, it's tough studying your Bible. It's tough, you know, standing for truth. It's tough. And they go right back to where they was. And they did become neutralized. They're not winning nothing for the Lord. Listen, the Lord not working in this program in times past. He's not working that program ages to come. He's working in the dispensation of grace, and that's where you got to stand. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for them a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay a hold on what? You know what? He's telling them to get a grip and a hold on the life that God has given them in who? Christ. He's telling them to hold on to it. Yeah? And this is why you are to hold on to it. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. And that they may recover themselves, speaking about these people that oppose themselves and don't live like believers, out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, how in the world has Satan got a will? His will is to dislodge you. His will is to knock you off your stand. His will is to make you a POW. Have you ever caught an animal in a snare trap? Okay, you know what a snare trap is. Yeah. You know, whether it's a little mouse trap, you know, live, when they go in there, right? And they go in, and the next thing you know, that door drops. You captured him. And you had caught him, and he can't get out of there. He can't get to the bait no more. You know, that type of thing. And when the snare of the devil is a thing that he catches someone in, and they can't get the truth, okay? They can't get the truth. That's what happens. They captures your mind in a snare and puts you over here, and you're over there in that corner, and the truth's over here, and you can't get to it. You're like, yeah, that's pretty sad. I know hundreds of people like that. And he is holding them back from getting it to the reality and to the truth and the issues out there. And Satan will come along and not just spoil you and take you captive, but put you in a POW camp. That's what's dangerous. You know, the fact that you make you none of void. I'm better off to go on over here because I can't do this, this, this. You know, but he will use other tactics too. And he will try to catch you. He will try to hold you in something that keeps you from being able to go on and get the truth. I think a lot of us have been there. I think a lot of us from the time we was this big, you know, been churched about half our life, and we always told you do this, 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 and we never questioned nobody. You know, that type of thing. And you get to a place where you actually can't get to it, and you oppose yourself. What's 2 Timothy 2:25 say? 2 Timothy 2:25. We just there, women. 2 Timothy 2 what?
Correcting those who are in opposition. Which would be the opposition to the message of grace.
In meekness, instructing, yeah, those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure would give them repentance to acknowledging of the truth, you begin to be almost the opposite of whom reality, who you are in reality, and reality of who you are in Christ is the very thing that you're fighting against in your experience. You have it. It's real, guys. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll knock this out right quick. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of who?
Devils.
Now these seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils that draw people away from the faith, that cause people to depart from their faith. They are in the faith, but they're being what?
Seduced
and depart from the faith. That's apostasy. When you depart from the... You ever heard that term, apostasy?
Yeah.
That's what that means. You're departing from the faith. Hey, Israel in times past, they departed from the faith.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't say, No. God's chosen people departed from... They depart from the doctrine, guys. They depart from... And let me say this something. If you've been taught in your life that... Let's pick on the Baptists. That you had to be water baptized to join the church. You had to be water baptized to be saved. You know, you trust Christ died for your sins and married rose again. Plus, we want you to get water baptized as a proof of... You know, that type of doctrine, okay? And then you come to understand right division. You with me? And you're like, wait a minute. By grace, I'm saved through faith, plus nothing else. It's not getting in a water tank. It's not paying tithes. It's not, and you started studying right division like you are now. In all reality, can't that religion, that church, say you departed from the faith?
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Yeah, they do. He's departed, guys. Stay away from him. He's departed. He's apostasy. He's departed. So it works every which way that you can think of. But when we stand for this truth, many of us had come out of that religion and departed from that stuff, and hopefully we never go back. But they don't depart from salvation. They don't depart from being in the Lord. With me? That's why I say, yeah, all the time, if you trust Christ Jesus, died for your sins, buried, and rose again, you're saved. There's nothing you can do more, and you're already in there. You're saved. You're not losing your salvation. I don't care if you depart or not. You with me? But you go back, and they're in the faith, and they believe it, but they're just being dislodged from it. We know a lot of people like that. I'd love to have them in a battle today. I love to have them standing for the truth of me today. But they've been dislodged. They're POW. They have been carried away from it. They've been taken away from it. And one trick is to snare to keep you from ever getting to it. And the more you stay away from it, the more it becomes a snare and walls, and it's going to be harder and harder for you to get to it. Another is when you have gotten it and you understand it, then you pick up and be carried away from it. This is serious, guys. And another one is when you are in it, but you're neutralized. The POW, is he still not a good soldier? Absolutely he is. You know, God chose you to be a good soldier. And he can still fight, but he's been put on a shelf and he can't get to the battle. They're sitting there warring with themselves. They're sitting there, I got to get out of here. My friends are still out there on the battlefield, you know, and they try to escape, you know, and all that stuff. They want to get back there. And some of them sits there, neutralized. I'm going to wait my time. You know, I may die here. You know, that type of thing. And here are seducing spirits that teaches doctrines of what?
Devils.
They cast spells on believers and carries them away. Do you remember over in Galatians when Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who hath what? Bewitched you. That word bewitched means to cast a spell. Remember that TV show, Bewitched?
Yeah.
There's casting, they cast a lot of spells in that show, didn't they? Yeah, and they cast a spell. The word is to cast a spell on somebody. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, verse 11, Paul talks, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, if you're taking notes. Paul talks to the Corinthian, he says, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, lest by any means the serpent has beguiled, as the serpent beguiled Eve, so your mind shall not be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He says, you won't be corrupted from the simplicity of just standing fast in the Lord. It's simple. Oh, it's just too simple. You ever heard that? You guys believe, they call it easy believism. You ever heard that? Yeah. Some of you shaking your head, yeah. Oh, you guys, you just make it too easy to believe. You know? And they're like, what is easy? Oh, yeah, just believe. Yeah. You one makes it hard. And he doesn't want you to be beguiled and have a spell cast on them by seducing spirits, teaching doctrines of devils that draws them away and dislodges them from the position who you have in Christ. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll get through this right quick. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3. What does verse 7 say? Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know that's opposite than to have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy 2:4 is? You're going to have people that's going to be ever learning and never able to come to know. How profitable is that?
No.
You went to nursing school. How knowledgeable would that if you just took that for ever learning and never able to come to that truth that helped you pass your test? What benefit? You'd still be in school. Danny's like, please no. <That's> you was there for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but you probably say people's ever learning but never able to get this. You know, that type of thing. But look, 2 Timothy 3:8 says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. You know who Jannes and Jambres? You know how they did it? They did exactly what 1 Timothy 4 was talking about. And Moses threw the rod down, and it turned into a snake, right?
Yeah.
And what did Jannes and Jambres do? They threw theirs down, and now you have what? How many snakes?
Three.
You have three down there. You ever always notice it's always two against one when it comes to God? You had Satan in the garden, and you had Adam and Eve, and you had other gods, you know, that type of thing. Well, you had definitely had Satan, and he introduced human viewpoint, and you had God's word. You got you yourself, your mind, spirit's always battling stuff. He threw it down. There's three things. They duplicated what Moses did, only that they did it twice as good. They just didn't throw one staff down. They made it look twice as good. There's two snakes down there. And this is going to come in a time in our ministry and your private ministry where you're going to be looking at what is happening around you, and it's going to look like the best you do, but it's completely outdone by another. You know, that church is doing a lot better than mine. You know, they got twice as many people. Listen, you got to remember, God's not impressed with numbers, guys. He's always had a remnant. There you go. Always had a remnant. And you have to come to a choice whether or not to stay with the sound doctrine of what God says and walk by faith, believing it's a reality, and go out to see what's out there. I know that for a while I thought about, you know, hey, maybe it'd be good to take our church and go visit another church so you can see what they're really preaching. You know what I mean? And I'm thinking, wait a minute, half of you guys came out of that place like that. I remember one brother told me, if you ever, I'll hang you if you ever go back in a place like that. You know, I'm like, ooh, okay, that's a warning. You know, and I'm thinking, that would be dangerous. Because you don't do that. You want them here. So you invite them here. You'll go on with what your reasons and intellect and logic tells you, or you'll go back to the book. It's always best to go back to the book.
Yeah.
That's your authority. And the issue in Ephesians 6:11, the issue is that you may be able to stand against all the schemes and strategies that Satan has to trick you into being dislodged in your position. It's powerful out there, guys. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.